Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, joined in studio by the Tribune's Kristen McQuarrie to talk about three events that took place last night: the big table debate, the little table debate, and then Donald Trump's tea party that he had. Or I shouldn't even say tea party, because he's not a member of the tea party. Wouldn't it make more sense to run these things on the Sci-Fi Channel as opposed to the other networks? I don't know why.
You know, last night was the least sci-fi because Trump wasn't there. So we actually, you know, got into a pretty detailed discussion about immigration reform and some other policy issues because he was gone. He was missing.
They referred to him right off the bat as the elephant that's not in the room, which is a beautiful irony because the symbol of the Republican Party, of course, is the elephant. So it made all kinds of sense. He wins in not being there, kind of, doesn't he?
I mean, he does because, all right, first of all, I don't know if you've taken a position on whether or not Fox News was kind of out of line in that press release that they put out.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Don't you you think they were?
Yes, because it could be a person. Even Megyn Kelly, it could be okay. But when a network does that, that seems completely wrong.
See, I agree with you. I mean, working at the Tribune, we would never put out a statement that was snarky and attacked a candidate. I mean, we would maybe put out a statement to defend someone like they should have with Megyn Kelly. But it was ridiculous. So I think a lot of people are siding with him that he decided to sit it out. I actually think the person who was the biggest child on the stage last night was the guy who said this. Here's your quiz.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Boy, the last four questions have been, please attack me.
This is Ted Cruz, by the way.
I'm not doing a very good imitation.
No, it's dead on Ted
This
Cruz.
Is a debate that's supposed to be on policy. Gosh, if you ask one more mean question, I might have to leave the stage.
Yeah.
What a baby. I thought he did not come across well
was
at all last
night. Was he trying
to
play the part of Trump? Is that what he was doing?
I think, well, okay, in fairness to him, the first hour of the debate, I didn't really like the questions either. They were trying to get the candidates to kind of spar with each mm-hmm. other. At one point, they asked Rand Paul a question about his dad. I mean, it took the second hour for them to get into some policy issues. So there were points where they were clearly trying to, you know, set up little fights among the candidates. But I thought he came across badly there. I think when they did talk about immigration policy, he just comes across as so unreasonable and someone who in this environment would never be able to beat Hillary Clinton based on his record. I don't know if you heard them talk about this, but he at one point introduced an amendment to an immigration bill that said anyone who is here illegally will be permanently ineligible for citizenship. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that's a very compassionate or rational way to deal with the immigration problem. And I think a majority of Americans agree.
But they're playing to the hilt. They're playing this immigration thing. I mean, depending on who you talk to, Kristen, the issues have a ranking order. But for some reason, most of the Republicans have really taken this on as a huge, huge cause that we need to fix immediately. Is it that big of a deal? Is it the worst thing going on in the country right now?
I think it's a travesty that it's been this long that we have not addressed this problem. And so I thought Marco Rubio was very strong when he kept bringing that up. This is 30 years. Yeah. 30 years we have been talking about it. I mean, think of all the time and resources and just wasted conversation that we keep having about it. Marco Rubio, I think, should embrace. They keep talking about that Gang of Eight proposal. Yeah. That was a compromise. It was the closest we got to immigration reform. It was not amnesty. In order to become, you know, a path to citizenship would take 13 years. You had to pay all of your back taxes. You had to learn English. You had to not be a criminal. And border security was going to come first. We mm-hmm. were going to deal. So, I mean, to me, that was a very reasonable compromise struck by conservatives and liberals. And Marco Rubio was on the committee that came up with that plan, and immediately John Boehner shot it down. So I do think it's a conversation we need to have. There are some estimates from nonpartisan sources that say if we fix the immigration problem, it would bring in billions and billions in revenue because we would finally have these people out of the shadows mm-hmm. and paying taxes.
There's something to that then. There's definitely something to that. We were all talking about Kasich for a little bit. If I was voting Republican and I knew it for sure, that would be the guy I would vote for, but for some reason, he can't seem to get much traction.
He's just been trumped. I mean, he really has.
He has,
is the moderate, middle of the road. He has a pretty good track record. He actually came into the Tribune editorial board, and so we had a chance to talk to him and meet with him. He does have a pretty solid conservative record.
Yeah.
But against this group at this time, with the outrage, he's just, you know, kind of falling through the hourglass.
So the fact that he's not as fiery and seemingly angry as the others, that's hurting him, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, there are some policy issues. He accepted Obamacare in his state. That's, you know, like a huge red flag with really ultra-conservative Republican voters.
It stinks that the people, I mean, I know that's the whole point of a race, but
right.
if you are with the wrong people, your chances are just blown.
I know. Well, it's so ironic, too, because all of them are running to the right and saying all this fiery rhetoric to appeal to GOP primary voters. And then whoever emerges, they're going to come right back to the middle where John Kasich is, where on some issues Jeb Bush is, where Chris Christie is on some issues, because you can't compete with a Democrat unless you are more centrist.
Let's go to Chris Christie for just a little bit. There was a time where he got chummy with the president when he needed him to be a friend. And he quickly forgot about all that. And he's really spending a lot of time talking about what an awful country this is under Barack Obama. Is it just the mere fact that he's running for president and wants to do that? I mean, did something happen that I'm not aware of that all of a sudden he forgot that Barack Obama kind of helped him out there for a little bit?
And isn't that like a show of his character, too?
It is in a way. One thing that I will say about when he attacks Obama and Hillary Clinton, it's usually when he is asked to attack his fellow Republicans.
Yeah.
And I think he doesn't want to play dirty. And I like that. You know, he pivots, and he pivoted last night. They asked him a question about who on the stage is not qualified to be president. He didn't even go there. He said the person who's not qualified is Obama. But in terms of their relationship, yes, the pictures of the two of them hugging and, you know, that's just, it's a poison pill, unfortunately, because it's ridiculous. I mean, Republicans have taken their hatred of Obama so far that, you know, John Boehner, when he was House Speaker, couldn't even go golfing with the president because that was just too offensive. You know, you're not.
Yeah.
It's a little bit Looney Tunes.
But because I'm trying to remember the time frame on this. Wasn't this at a time when Mitt Romney really needed Chris Christie's support, and all of a sudden he kind of shifted, not total allegiance, but he became very friendly with Barack Obama for a little while when he needed his help. That was right around the time of the last election, wasn't it?
It was. And I think Mitt Romney was just a different type of candidate, different type of Republican. And I think that's also why people are attracted to Trump, because he was so kind of milquetoast.
Yeah.
And we were wondering about the ratings. At least I was. Donald Trump and his counter programming effort last night against the GOP primary debate on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
We will tell you when we come back what the outcome of that
was.
Yes. Excellent.
Nice.
It's more of us, Bill and Wendy, along with Kristen McQuarrie of the Tribune. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 gets that done. It's WGN. Yesterday was a big day in politics. You had two regular Republican debates, what they call the kids' table debate and then your standard debate. And then Donald Trump decided he would take the ball and play elsewhere.
But elsewhere? Because you guys had mentioned you weren't sure where Donald Trump was trumping.
I didn't. I mean, I know he was speaking to a veterans group. I know he raised $6 million, but I was not flipping back and forth. So
I didn't know the network either.
I don't know who ran it.
Well,
here's what happened. Fox News Channel's Trumpless debate last night, 8.4 household rating, according to early Nielsen data. This means 8.4% of American metered market households were watching the face-off.
Okay.
By comparison, two of the cable channels that showed parts of Trump's event, CNN and MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we should have figured that, because where else would you find it? Had about a quarter of Fox's audience combined. Trump rivals clearly came out ahead in the raw ratings. The most recent GOP debate 2 weeks ago, 7.4. So this was higher at 8.4, and Trump was half of that.
Wow. So without Trump, it did better?
Yep.
Well, that's interesting.
I'm trying to figure out why that would be.
Because they get to talk.
Is that what it is?
The freak show's over.
And I think there's a lot of interest in like Megyn Kelly and the whole Fox News network and her fight with Donald Trump. There was more publicity about this one probably than the last one.
What do we take away about his personality? And again, I don't even need to say this. It seems like he keeps doing things wrong, but every time he does something that you'd perceive as wrong, it benefits him. But what does this say about his personality, where if the rules don't go according to the exact way he wants them, he won't play? What do we know about him because of that?
Well, I mean, it's one of his biggest flaws that I think non-Trump supporters such as myself are really it bothers me, it perplexes me. How can we have a world leader who is so sensitive and, you know, takes his toys and goes home or goes on the attack? I mean, one of the first questions at last night's debate was, you know, Trump's not here. What do you make of that? And Cruz's answer was, I'm a maniac. Everyone on this stage is stupid, fat, and ugly. And Ben, you're a terrible surgeon. I mean, those are all things that Trump has said.
Right.
So I don't think it reflects well on him.
No.
This is the guy who is potentially going to be running our country, dealing with foreign affairs, with foreign dignitaries. Doesn't that scare anybody? And I guess you have no answer to this, and we'll have to wait and see. The people who like him for changing the face of politicians, or lack thereof, are they really going to vote for him? Are they just liking him now? Are they liking what's happening? And are they really going to vote for him?
I mean, that's the big question. It looks, six months ago, I would have said no, that they would gravitate towards somebody else who had similar policy positions but wasn't so, off the cuff of a speaker.
Wasn't such a whirling dervish.
I love it. But no, you can't say that anymore. I mean, the gap between he and his closest competitor in the polls has stayed steady, and I think this is an important point, he still draws these big crowds. And yes, some people are still going for entertainment value, but he is motivating people to go out of their homes on a Tuesday night and go hear him speak somewhere. And none of the other candidates have been able to do that.
Kristen, what about this? Of all the news networks out there, Fox News is the one that caters primarily to the right-wing Republican audience. By splitting that up, by making Donald Trump angry at the network and Roger Ailes, who runs the network, what does that do? Where does that leave Republicans if the news network that they enjoy and the candidate they enjoy are fighting with each other?
I mean, I think it's pretty much just entertainment value. Initially, the attacks on Megyn Kelly from Trump, there was, you know, kind of a Megyn Kelly Twitter support group that cropped up. She is really popular among viewers, and yeah, I would say bipartisan, because she tends to be pretty tough on everybody.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, Trump keeps talking about fighting the establishment. Mainstream media is included in that category. And so he gets more kudos for refusing to debate and, you know, just making his own way.
I didn't see any of the kids. I hate to use the phrase kids table debate, but it kind of sums it up. It's the more important people get to sit at the more important table, and then the people that are the sadly also-rans get to sit at the other table. I did see the clips of Carly Fiorina, and it was almost stand-up-like in her delivery, as she just had a barrage of complaints about Hillary Clinton, one after the other after the other. It was actually really well-written, but does this translate to get her back up into the higher echelon?
You know, I don't know. Let's see how she does on Monday. Monday is caucus day in Iowa. She did great last night. She's a really strong debater, and it's too bad that her poll numbers have not been high enough to keep her, you know, at the big kids table.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when they were all up there, it was too much. So I actually have liked that they've split it up, because then they all get more time.
Would anyone consider, I guess this doesn't make sense because everything is preconceived, even their position and where they stand. They put the more popular candidates toward the middle, and then it filters off towards the sides. But couldn't they just do a random thing where, say there's 14 candidates, 7 of them get the early debate, 7 of them get the late, and it's not decided by where they are popular in the polls at that particular day?
Well, you should run this.
Would that make
sense?
Bill.
Yes, yes. I mean, they do it by polling. There are a lot of questions as to how accurate some of these polls are. I think we've seen even in our own state government for the governor's race and other high profile races that were so close, actually they weren't, or vice versa. So we'll see if the polls have really been accurate and fairly placing all of them on the stage.
All right. There's only a couple of days left until Monday. Who needs to do what to make themselves known so they're viable options as opposed to the two front runners?
I think Donald Trump just has to not say anything too outrageous. This is the point in the campaign where I think his handlers, his managers are saying, okay, just hang
tight.
Lay low. Don't say anything racist.
Right.
You know, keep it together. I think Ted Cruz, you know, personally, I didn't think he did well last night. I think he comes across as just kind of whiny and too strident. He has to try to keep peeling away those Trump supporters by talking about faith and issues where he is stronger than Trump.
Faith came up a lot last night, by the way.
It did.
Like, way more faith.
That was Wendy sang the song.
Just like that.
But there's another little thing we should keep in mind.
We're doomed.
He's in, isn't he?
You know, if it happens, I will be down here with your favorite margarita to help you cope.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's kind of looking that way. Get used to President Trump. Just say it over and over again.
So. I've not looked, but there used to be, and I know this is a weird way of looking at things as important as presidential elections, but Las Vegas used to have a pretty good beat on this sort of thing. They would put odds on who was going to win and not. I haven't looked yet, but I wonder where they put Donald Trump as of today.
Oh, that's a great question. Let's find out.
I got to find out.
Yeah.
All right, Kristen, thank you very much. This is a story that really just keeps getting stranger and stranger and stranger, doesn't it?
It does.
It never stops.
It
we
does.
Appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having
Kristen
me.
Kristen McQuarrie of the Tribune. We're going to take a break, and then Steve has the news coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.